No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'll be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Ed. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. And yes, it has happened. Third class medical has passed. Hallelujah. Look out. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Celebrate. Hallelujah. The skies have opened and we're flying right through them. All the clouds.
Without having to renew our medicals.
That is pretty amazing. I like that. That's quite a gift.
And in all reality, well, it's...
It only took 20 years.
Well, no, not that long.
Not
and, actually, for FAA speak, it's pretty fast, but it did take Congress getting involved.
Yeah,
and it's still not done yet. In that,
well, they have to execute it.
They have to change the regs and implement it. And they've got a year, I believe it is, from the date of the signing of the bill, which was just this past week, and to actually get the regulations changed. They can do it sooner. They just if it's that waiting period, then it just automatically becomes law.
Okay.
So it will probably happen sooner than that. But the other thing is, one of the interesting things is, if you've had a medical and not renewed it within the past 10 years from the date of which the bill was signed into law, you don't have to renew your medical. You don't have to go back and reapply for another one. You just simply are good to fly.
Yeah, which includes me.
Well, you just did yours.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, you can now say that effectively you had your last flight physical.
That's pretty sweet.
Unfortunately, I can't.
Well, you can't. Why?
Because it doesn't apply to flight instructors.
Oh, well, that...
Or commercial pilots.
Give it another 20 pilots. Years, they'll get something passed
no,
for you guys.
No, we do it for a living. It's not going to change for us.
All right.
Which is fine. You know, I did just recently do mine. It, you know, no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, I think what's going to be interesting is that there's yet to be developed courses that have to be done, because you're going to have to, every 2 years, do an online medical course, basically helping educate the pilot on signs to think about and look for. And there are still disqualifying medical issues that you have to watch for. You know, if you had a heart condition, you know, you're going to have to self-ground until you can get documentation and go through the special issuance. So those things are still there. A person wanting to learn to fly will still have to, if they're going to want to go as a private pilot, because, of course, sport pilots can already do this, but if they want to go as a private pilot, they will have to still go get a third class medical the first time.
Right.
And then and any special issuances that go with that. And when I talk special issues, I'm talking about things like diabetes and heart conditions and things that are classified you need to have special issues for.
Right.
And, you know, so they'll still have to go through that.
But you don't have to get it renewed every 2 years.
You're not going to have to get renewed every... Well, for those people under 40, it was renewed every 5 years.
Okay.
Every 60 calendar months.
Yeah, instead of but every we hate those
But we
guys.
Don't... We haven't had to worry about that ever.
Yeah.
Because that rule was not even in place when I was below the age of 40.
Yeah. Okay.
10 years ago.
Yeah, we'll go with that. But yeah, it's a good thing. And the bottom line is, if you're not familiar with this, you would think, hey, the more... You know, medicals pilots have, the better, the safer we'd be. It just wasn't the case.
Well, no, and the statistics showed that it really was not preventing any sudden incapacitation.
Right.
And it, you know, it was, it really was not even helping pilots be healthier, because all they worried about was passing that exam. And honestly, the exam was not really all that invasive. It was more important, and you know, of course, for years I passed that off. Yeah, I go for a physical every year, dear. And my wife just said, "Do they take blood work?" No. You know, what will they do?
How long did it take?
5 minutes.
Three.
You know, they checked my vision. They checked my hearing. They listened to my heart. They
how you feel? Good. Okay.
Checked my blood pressure, and you know,
give me your money.
Took a urine sample, and away it went. And she's like, there's no blood sample. There, you know, and I'm like, no. And so a long time ago, I found out I had to go every year for her. And actually, that has led me to being healthier.
Well, of course. And that's should be your family physician. You should be going to see your doctor every year.
Exactly. And that's what the FAA is getting at, and what AOPA was getting at is this program that they presented and what has come out now as what's going to be the law is going to promote that, because people aren't going to be afraid to go get treated for something because, you know, now they don't have to, you know, send all this paperwork to the FAA for every doctor visit they ever went to.
Right.
And they you know, it became burdensome. In fact, people would avoid going to the doctor because of that, because they didn't want a record of it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now they're going to go to the doctor, stay healthy, and do what they need to remain physically fit, and that is actually going to increase the safety in flying and potentially you know, prevent incapacitations, you know, due to serious health conditions that pilots will start seeking treatment more.
Yeah. Well, and plus, you know, it just became a big bureaucracy and a money-making scam, if you ask me. Self-preservation is a huge motivation.
Well,
when it comes to this, because look, if I'm going to fly a plane, I don't want anything happening to me up there, and because I'm the guy flying the plane. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah,
absolutely.
So I think there's plenty of motivation to take care of yourself if you want to be a pilot.
Yeah.
As opposed to worrying about, you know, people flying planes that shouldn't be.
Yeah.
There's much more motivation for the pilot himself to take care of himself, I think. And the stats, you know, pretty much prove that out, I believe.
Oh,
yeah. That's what they've been showing over the years. And finally, we've made progress, and we've been talking about it ad nauseum, almost as much as drones.
Oh, gosh.
Well, I don't have a drone story.
Yay!
Yeah. So it's a double win this week.
It's a droneless day.
Drone-free Just Plane Radio this week. So anyway, we did get our third class medical, so that's good. Hats off to Mark Baker and the gang from AOPA.
Yes, absolutely. They have not let up the pressure on Capitol Hill and been lobbying on our behalf, and can't thank them enough. And you know, we always have our friend Tom Haynes on talking about all this stuff, keeping us informed of it. But I tell everybody, you know, it's the one association that you all as a pilot need to be a member of,
because
they are doing real good out there.
Yeah, and this is something they've been working on for a long, long time.
Yeah,
is the question they get asked, you know, just so many times when they're out and about at the fly-ins and the shows and everything. I know it must be like driving them crazy.
Yeah.
And finally, they got the news they've been waiting for.
I know the next time we have Tom, I'm going to have to ask, was there a champagne party afterwards?
Well, I noticed he wasn't on AOPA Live last week. So he was probably taking a week off because he knew this was coming down. Like, finally, I can breathe. But who knows? But yeah, it's good work. And hats off to him for finally getting that done. Now, what are they going to do? God knows there's a few other things.
Trust me, they've got to keep their eye on making sure that there are no user fees coming into the budgets.
Right.
And their work's not done by any means, and they'll stay on top of it.
They will indeed.
Yep.
All right. So are you already seeing the effects of the third class medical at the flight school there, or no?
No, we didn't have a big party, if you that's
what you're asking. Well, no, I wasn't saying that. I'm just saying it's been going over quite well, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, as you can imagine, it's a big part of what we do, and it's still going to be, because it's not completely gone. The new customers coming in that want to become a private pilot will have to go for the exam.
Right.
I've actually talked recently to, because I recently did my medical, talked to the doctor about the whole process and how it's going to affect him. He says, you know, in reality, he did quite a few third class medicals. That was probably the bulk of what he did.
Yeah.
But, you know, he once again is also a pilot, also has to go through this exam every 2 years. And he was actually looking forward to the fact that he doesn't have to jump through all these hoops again. And because he sees it from the bureaucratic side of all the paperwork he has to do when somebody comes in.
Right.
And, you know, he's more about keeping people flying, and this will keep people flying and do it with.
Well, it hit him in the pocketbook, though, a little bit.
I don't think he's hurting.
Yeah. You know, well, and most doctors, I guess you're right.
It's a sign-laden business for him, and he does it because he's a pilot and he loves aviation. Mm-hmm. And we spent more time talking about an airplane he's looking at buying than we did about my health condition, you know, that, but, and, you know, also how the flight school.
So he'll miss that. So he'll have some
he'll
other
still get
reason
it because I'll still be going there every 2 years.
Well, okay.
Well, actually, I'm going every year.
Yeah,
because,
you
because I use a second class medical.
Okay, so
Keith goes every 6 months because he keeps his first class.
Well,
medical
and
up.
He's slightly crazy, and that's probably good for his mental capacity.
Shh, they can't say that. No, I mean, no, you know, they still don't want to say that.
I mean, crazy in the sense that he's a pilot.
Yeah,
I and know. We share that common bond of aviation that makes us slightly twisted. And that, not in the technical doctor terminology that would get us in trouble with the FAA.
Okay.
I've clarified that completely. And probably dug a hole deeper for, well, them. Not me. Doesn't affect me. Everybody knows my, I'm an open book. I'm perfect.
Doesn't affect you. Well, hey, I mean, you don't even fly, so what's it?
Well, no, I'm working on it. I haven't seen it at the airport. Well, I've been working on it, you know, towards it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
This test today, it's important.
I got it. I'm going to make you look good up there. Don't worry, okay? Now let's get these pants off and fly some planes.
I'm learning to fly around the clouds.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed this week. Keith is out flying, so he couldn't join us this week. But next week could be a different story. In the meantime, filling that seat is Dennis, is joining us via the web. Dennis, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Greg.
You've been learning to fly, even over, you know, the July holiday, July 4th holiday, I believe, right? I got those pictures. You rubbing it in, say, hey, Greg, this could be you, but no, you're not flying.
I think I just said something like that.
Well,
didn't I?
Was that you?
I hadn't seen you at the airport. I believe my comment.
You know, all the voices are kind of mushing together.
All those voices in your head.
Yeah, and so I just kind of, you know.
Oh, I think those are the ones he's listening to. Is the ones in his head?
Maybe.
That's
maybe.
We need to somehow figure out how to get him back into a ground school so he can get this excuse of the written taken care of, because, you know, he delayed it so he could take it and be the first to report on the new written,
right?
And it hasn't changed any.
Well, not yet,
right.
But it's going to. I'm first in line to be
first
one
in
of
line. It's
going to
be 18 months before the new test codes are on the written.
Well, I hope to get an advanced copy. I'm working on that.
Well, no, the thing is that the real issue is that the standards have changed, but the standard the test codes that are supposed to better tie to the new standards.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, they can't get that figured out for a year to 18 months.
I heard that the reason is they have to actually get, they're having to let out contracts for a new testing system because the current platform they used to administer the tests wasn't capable of dealing with the new codes. So now they're going to have to go and put that whole project up for bid.
Hmm. Well, and here's the thing. That's why at the first of the year, and I found out that the pilot examiners were told it's at least a year away.
Yeah.
And so in about mid-May or early May when they announced, guess what? We're implementing it. You know, everybody's like, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. They were not prepared for this by any means because they were told it was not coming for a while.
Right.
And so I had a chance to talk to the person from the FAA that is in charge of the committee on it. And there was some internal pressure within the committee to release it because these things will make safer pilots and all this stuff. And it just turned out to be another ready fire aim from the FAA. It's like, okay, so really nothing's changed.
Ready fire aim miss.
Yeah, other than, okay, the slow flight procedure changed for good purpose and good reason. But other than that, the people we've sent through the test, it's kind of like, okay, that's pretty much the same as it was before that.
Hmm. So you're saying I'm ready to take it then?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's just as well because lobster season's coming up. That's going to distract me.
Yet another excuse.
Well, I'm just saying. Dennis knows. He's a scuba diver as well and can relate to my stories because we're in, you know, hot and heavy into dive season right now. And I do have some major trips coming up that I have to navigate before I can jump back in the cockpit. But well,
my son was able to get his all of his ground school done
right in
the course of a couple evenings. So you just have to decide that you want to do this. And so what do we need to do? What's the incentive here?
Well, we got to move lobster season around or get through that because I'm kind of focused on bugs right now.
But so, here's the other challenge. Oshkosh is during lobster season. So are you going to try to make a presence up there?
I am not. I have our Just Plain Radio correspondent Dennis and his friend, son Austin there to cover that base for us this year.
Well, it's a good thing that I purchased a motorhome to camp out.
Yeah, you and Keith both bought new motorhomes. Keith's not taking his out there either.
No.
It's not new.
Well, Keith's wasn't new either. But I got the pictures of yours, and I've seen the outside of Keith's. It's impressive. But yours looks pretty nice. Is it a big boy or what?
It's a 35-footer. And,
yeah.
It comes with a free Friends of OPEC award.
A free what?
Friends of OPEC award. It uses a lot of gas.
Aha. Uh-huh. So it is not a trailer. It's a Winnebago type
of
thing.
It's a bus.
How about that? That's cool, though. That's awesome. So you're going to.
It will be cool. It's going to have. It's got a generator and two rooftop units so that we can actually survive in the hot, muggy Wisconsin farm fields.
Yeah. Well, they're not that muggy.
It can be. I mean, Oshkosh is either gorgeous or it's miserable.
Well, last year it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
So,
don't count on that because I've been there many years and camping in tents and it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Now,
but it's not like hot like it is in Florida and muggy.
It
could be.
Can be.
It just depends on the weather. Yeah. Well,
and there's no respite from, you know, when you're out there, there's no respite from the sun. I mean, you can't get in the shade. You can't get, you know, a break from anything.
Now
you're coming into a tent.
Yeah. Now, are you going to be in the, are you going to try to get into the 24-hour, the 24-hour lot for the generators running continuously?
That would be nice, but I'm not going to. I'll take what I can get. Let's just put it that way.
What is that, like a first come, first serve?
It's one of those things that depends on how early you get there. Now, Lenny and Judy are going up. They're taking their motorhome up, but they're camping off site. There is a campground right on the lake, which is next to the airport, just a 5-minute drive away, and it's got the full 50-amp service and, you know, water connection and all that stuff. So, you know, it's like staying on their permanent lot here in Florida that they just pull in, hook up, you know, push the slide outs out, unhook the Jeep, and they're ready to go.
Well, yeah, I would think that, in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, in the evening after 10 o'clock when you have to shut down the generator, you could still have battery power to run a fan and you'd be fine.
Yeah.
Yep. Right? So is that what you're planning to do?
That's the plan. And usually in the evenings, the temperature does tend to drop off once the sun goes down. And so if you can get the trailer cooled off and, you know, kind of get ahead of things, it can make for a decent
night. Hey, this time of year in Florida, anything below 90 degrees is a cool breeze. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So just go with that. Keep that mindset. You'll be fine. So if you're driving a big old Winnebago kind of thing out there, then obviously you're planning to be out there for the whole shebang. Am I right?
Actually, there's a four-letter word that gets in the way. So that one that starts with a W.
Yeah, W-I-F-E?
No, W-O-R-K.
Oh.
Ah.
We're going to go out there Thursday.
It's work. You're going there to work for Greg.
Well, yeah.
Because Greg doesn't work.
Exactly. Well, wait a minute. Let's back off the second part of that. But regardless, you're going for the first part of AirVenture? Is that what you said?
We're actually going for the last part of it. We're going to go out there.
How are you
going
to get in there with a big old Winnebago? All the good spots are going to be taken at that point.
No. There's always room. I mean, the big push is on the weekend. That's when they have the most people showing up there. So we figure by showing up midday Thursday, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know but if I buy that. See, last year I was there, I think, at the beginning of the week, and it was crowded. Or no, I guess I was there over the weekend. What am I talking about? Yeah. Well, I was there. You're right. There could be some space available for you. It was busy, though, so you're going to be out in the boonies. But it's all about walking. Bring your walking shoes. You'll be fine. It'll be well worth it. This will be the first time for you there, right?
Nope. This is probably my fifth trip.
Well, the first time with your own camper there. So you can give us kind of like...
my own RV, yes.
Yes. All right. We'll go with that. Be just like that Robin Williams movie. I know it. That'd be radio gold for the show.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed, and Dennis helping us out today to round out the crew here. Now, so Austin, your son, just has finished up some more training and just did a night flight or something. Is that what you're telling me during the break there, Dennis, or what? What happened?
He's actually going out tomorrow to do his night cross country.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the last requirements that he has to do before he can take his check ride. So he's going to do a 100 nautical mile night flight and needs a couple more hours of simulated instrument, and they might knock both of those out in that trip.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. So, Greg, it is official.
Yeah?
Austin has passed you up.
Okay.
He's now made it farther through the training program than you have.
All right. And your point is what?
You're a slacker.
Well, no. I'm too old to be a slacker. That's a different age group. That's like a millennial or Gen Xer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I remember Austin throwing the gauntlet down to you last year after he soloed.
Now, see, that's the advantage of being an older and more experienced gentleman. I don't remember what happened yesterday, let alone what he might have challenged me for years ago.
But we kind of joked with you that, you know, the race is on. Let's see who's going to get this ticket first. And it looks like he's now just a nose ahead of you. So
fine.
You're going to let a 17-year-old
whatever.
Pass
you? You think this is motivating
me? Is
this isn't going to motivate me. No, this isn't helping, guys. I have priorities. Lobster takes priority over flying, at least for the month of July. Now, once we get through July and into August, lobster season starts, then maybe it'll settle down. But actually, then I got to go to the Maldives. Then I have to I got a trip to Alaska too. So you know, I got some issues, and I'm supposed to go.
We
back
know
to
you
Cuba.
Have issues.
Well, yeah, but I'm supposed to go back.
How much
to Cuba.
Time would you have saved this month in trips to South Florida for your beer show with all of the diving industry and now Lobster Fest? If you could just hop in a Skyhawk,
that would have been nice. Except the show that we did at the brewery, not a good thing with flying the plane thing. You hear what I'm saying?
No. That's you're going to hotel it, right?
Well, yeah, of course.
Sleep it off, fly the next day.
Yeah, but it was at a brewery. I needed more than one night to sleep off. You hear what I'm saying? Long story. Hey, we'll talk about flying to Cuba, though, next. Got some updates for you on that.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I was flying. Of course I was flying.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. FTPros.com is the website to fly with him, or Keith is your flight instructor. It's also Keith, or, well, he'll be back next week, but Dennis is helping us out as well today via the web. And, you know, I know Dennis saw this. I don't know if you saw this, Ed, yourself, but a Florida executive has been approved this week to fly... I don't know, business charters or charter flights to Cuba.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, they've already announced that, like, JetBlue, Delta, and American and all those guys are going to be flying out of Miami towards the island there and start regular scheduled service, I believe, in the fall, September sometime. But I think this is the first executive airport or smaller airport that has gotten the approval. So that'd be Fort Lauderdale Executive, mm-hmm. which would be very convenient for me. You talk about wanting to fly. I'm supposed to go back to Cuba and do some more dive research there on the island and some other
dive
cities.
Research.
What do you? Why sound so sarcastic?
Air quotes. What's, dive research.
Yeah, that's what it is. You got to count
cigar
the fish.
Cigar purchasing.
That would be. It falls under quality control.
Okay.
Yeah. Rum,
see,
cigars.
I'm more in the rum.
Yeah, well, as I said, rum, of course.
I'm not a rum guy. It's too
you haven't
sweet
had, for you me. Haven't had the right kind yet. Trust me on that one, or take my word. There's some rum with your name on it somewhere that you go, oh, that's what all the ruckus is about. Anyway, it's cool that they're doing that. However, then there's a couple legislators in the House, I believe, that wanted to throw... a wrench into this, all these Cuba flights that they're starting to open up, by saying they don't want to allow them until TSA has secured some better, you know, security things to handle the flights coming back and forth from Cuba. For instance, allowing air marshals on the flights, Cuba kicking in their airport security and making it more effective. You know, worried about, you know, potential issues and things like that in that regard. I'll tell you from my experience,
yeah.
When you leave Cuba, they are pretty good about the screening. Leaving Cuba back to the United States on the two flights that I've taken back so far, we definitely had to go through metal detectors. They were pretty thorough about checking us and actually doing the wand over our entire bodies. I didn't get that on the way there. You know, they didn't care when we were flying there so much.
You, TSA pre-check, right?
Well, true. I mean, I guess we were going through the typical Miami, flight security. But I don't know. You know how that's more impersonal. You just go through the line. Maybe I'm just used to it. So yeah. I guess we did have it. But coming back, I mean, they definitely checked us out pretty good on that regard. So I don't know. I mean, is it much to do about nothing, or is there something they could do to pick up the security? Probably wouldn't hurt, I guess.
It's not going to hurt, and, you know, I think they're worried about somebody coming in through there that
should
do harm, and,
right.
You know, that there's but once again, it's TSA trying to give you the impression of security.
True. Yeah, and I'll say security I've flown in from many other islands throughout the Caribbean, especially where there was very little security whatsoever. So if they I understand their concerns, but hopefully they won't put in so much, you know, red tape in here, they'll derail this whole process of opening up Cuba, because more people ought to see it. It is cool. Mm-hmm. And the sooner it opens up, I think the better. I mean, it's definitely going to open up. It's just a matter of how quick will all the infrastructure and everything with all the people that want to go down there and check it out come back with a few, you know, do their own quality control of cigar and rums.
Well, it's not like they're brand new to having commercial service there. Europe, Canada has been flying into Cuba for, you know, for decades.
Right.
So those countries have just the same, you know, stringent requirements as we do. Mm-hmm. They don't want their planes getting hijacked or anything happening on the way. So
correct. Yeah.
I think it's much ado about nothing.
Well, let's hope that's the case and this isn't just some kind of, you know, derailment of the process for political reasons. Who knows? I mean, I'm not saying it is, but, you know, you see it one thing like, hey, Fort Lauderdale's opened up. Oh, wait a minute. We're going to shut down everything until they do this first.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of blows.
That's kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Government work in general.
Right. It's just how it goes.
Back to the ACS, ready, fire, aim.
Uh-huh. Ready, fire, aim, miss.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. There's the latest on Cuba. Now, a couple other things that that caught my eye. You know, we've talked about the Terrafugia electric car or flying car thing that looks like it's on track to, I don't know, they're saying they might have some kind of prototype in 2018 or something is what they've been saying. However, this week I see a story where Toyota has actually patented vehicles with shape-shifting skin and stackable wings. Have you seen that?
What?
And they were awarded a patent for what they call shape-morphing fuselage for an aero car.
So they patented the idea, but can they actually produce it?
Well, good question, but I would think if they've patented...
I think they just patented a transformer.
No. There's pictures and everything. So,
I can't see through your head.
Well, it's like a car.
It's radio, man.
You know what? It's the closest thing I've seen to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang on paper. I mean, because that's what it looks like. The wings in their aero car fold up into the car into a compartment, kind of like a convertible would. Like a soft top would fold down into your... the back trunk area or whatever. They're doing something with the wings and they kind of collapse into the fuselage and then they poke out, and I guess that's the stretchable skin, or I don't know what the heck that's all about exactly, but it stretches out, you know, wings from a car like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. So okay.
Greg,
aero car, it's more manual handling.
You know, maybe some of us are younger that don't know what you're talking about when you say Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
You know, don't even.
Dick Van Dyke, Julie Andrews.
Yeah.
I know that.
He knows that. Wait, you're going to play that card and act like you don't? You're not.
My hair is a lot darker than yours.
Yeah.
See, everybody was able to get a 5-year medical once.
So you're
and
even
I
younger.
Know what that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So we all know flying cars, aero car. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang was the initial inspiration for such a thing, but it never has taken flight, literally. Except, you know, now we got some of those parachute cars and things like that. But this is a big deal. When you think of Toyota's, you know, going after something like that, they obviously got their eyes set on creating something, or they see the potential of a real flying car.
Or they want to compete with Honda.
Yeah, I was going to say that they saw what it took Honda Jet to get an airplane to production. They want to see if they can lose money doing that too.
I don't think that's the case. I think they
could
do
this.
Well, you know
how to make $1 million in aviation, right?
Start with two.
Yep.
Understood.
Right.
But
just like diving.
You know, okay, maybe Chitty Chitty Bang Bang's not the right example. I mentioned this to Keith a few weeks ago about when we were talking about the Terrafugia, and I mentioned the Jetsons.
Yeah.
You know, that we need that. He was like, what's that? Because he doesn't watch TV. And I'm like, you've never seen the Jetsons? Are you kidding me? And, you know, so that would look cooler if it looked like a Jetson car. But according to these, plans, these written, you know, blueprints of their aero car, it looks more like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang than it looks like George Jetson's spaceship. So they need to work on the design and go watch some Jetsons cartoons.
Okay.
And then make it fold up into a briefcase when it's done.
That would be awesome.
Perfect.
Yes. Come on. Come on. Get with it, you nerds.
Retro.
Calling all geeks. You know, get on the internet, pull up some Jetsons cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll know what I'm talking about. Right now they're going, I don't know what that old fart's talking about. I don't get it. Yeah.
They
anyway.
Do get it. They know you're an old fart.
Well, okay. But that would be kind of nice. And the fact that Toyota is getting on board with this, I think that's a good sign. I think this is going to happen. Are you feeling it? I mean,
I didn't see anything about it, but you know, I do think it's something that when you look at the airspace plan, the FAA has planned stuff like that in it. If you look at the pathway technology and the autopilots, I tell you what, it'd be safer to have somebody driving that with an autopilot on it than it is the Teslas with the autopilots on the road right now.
You think?
Yeah, they've had 3 accidents so far, including 1 fatality.
Yeah.
So, you know, autopilot doesn't belong on the road, so put them in the air.
Why
There's
not?
More room.
Yeah.
Fewer things hit.
Be cooler. And then they'll pack up like a briefcase.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. All right, there we go. We've solved the world's problems when it comes to transportation right here on Just Plane Radio. You are welcome.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other 2/3 of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Who's your buddy? Is he your pal? Well, I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll explain how we use the buddy system in diving next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
For many, scuba diving is a social sport, but that's only one reason we use the buddy system. Ideally, dive buddies are evenly matched in skill level and can assist each other if necessary. They're not a crutch to lean on, but a backup system that, if used properly, can make your dive safer and more enjoyable. And if you're diving right, your buddy will likely end up being your pal, too. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I gave Willie the greatest gift of all.
Chase, you sure about this?
The gift of flight.
What could go wrong?
A lot could go wrong.
I mean, you're strapped in.
I'm aware I'm strapped in.
Enjoy the ride, man.
You got it, baby.
I don't know. This something doesn't feel right.
Put him in orbit.
When I die, hallelujah, by and by.
Let's fly.
With Just Plane Radio, Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed Dennis, helping us out today as well. All right, so amongst the chaos of doing the show, Ed is actually multitasking as he prepares for his ATP. Yeah, you're hot and heavy into the middle of this right now, am I right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that I have never done and need to do because of some changes in the rules we've talked about in the past.
Wait a minute, hold on. You've never done an ATP?
No.
I've been
my certificate is commercial with airplane, multi-engine, and single-engine instrument airplane.
Okay.
So, I am changing my certificate level up to the airline transport pilot. So,
yeah.
I'll be an airline
ATP.
I will hopefully be an airline transport pilot. With
by this time next week, we'll know for sure. Yeah. And if not, Keith will be busting your balls beyond belief.
Oh, he's already doing that. Oh. So he's been flying with me in preparation for this now, just to kind of give you the background story, the regulation changed August 1st, 2014. So you had to take your written exam before that date, unless you want to go through the new system, which is the what they call the ATP CTP, a 30-hour ground training course that includes 6 hours of full flight simulator, which is about $5,000 or $6,000 expense. So to save myself that,
yeah,
because I'd not bother. I mean, I've been qualified to do the ATP for probably 20 years or more.
Okay,
but I've never taken the time to do it because there's always something get in the way. And so I 2 years ago I took the written test, and you know, I knew this reg was coming for a year. I was like, I'll get it done. July rolled around. I had to have it done by the end of July. Finally went and took day off work, went to one of the special test prep places and prepped for the test and got it done.
All right, so you had put it off for
I put off for more than, well, just the flight training side, I've done, put it off for 2 years.
All right, well, then now I don't feel so bad.
Okay, here's the funny thing about it. I take the written test, I'm all psyched, I'm going to get it done, I just got to find an airplane, and the next day I'm back at the office doing a call, and our friend Diego calls.
Yeah.
And he says, Ed, I'm retiring. I'm like, no! Do you know what you're doing to me?
You're my ace in the...
I just wanted to take a check ride with him because he is just like the best examiner ever.
Right.
And I said, when? He says, Monday. And this was like Thursday. I'm like, what? I can't find an airplane in that time.
Yeah.
So that put me off. And then multiple things at work and life getting in the way. And, you know, that the finances side of it. And, plumbing at the house and all that stuff that comes in the way. So here I am, and you know, I'm crunch time, a couple weeks away from my written test expiring, and
time to get her done. Next week we will know if you've gotten your ATP, airport transport,
airline transport pilot certificate.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
And then you'll be good to do what? Transport people?
It won't do. I'm not going to be using it for anything.
But it'll give you another level of stuff.
It's just another level of.
But it allows you to run commercial flights.
Yeah, I could if I was working for a 121 air carrier.
Yeah.
Or as a 121 air carrier, I would have to have the ATP to be captain. And now the rule also states I would have to have an ATP to be co-pilot, and that's where all the regs were changing based on an accident a few years back.
Got it.
Buffalo.
So next time, we want to fly to the Bahamas. Keith could captain, you could co-pilot, and I'll be in the back schmoozing with the guests.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Sleeping.
Not going to happen.
So how is that different from today?
Well, because they put me in the co-pilot seat and make me watch for traffic.
We're still going to do that.
Well, but I can do that from the lounge chair in the back.
Yeah, no.
No? You don't think? Yeah. But you could, in theory, do that.
Oh, could in theory. But like I say, it's I'm collecting a rating that,
it's more for experience.
More for experience. More just to have it in my pocket.
Tough? Is it hard? Harder?
Yeah, it's twice as hard as the instrument rating.
Why?
The altitude tolerances are plus or minus 50 feet. No more than 1/4 scale deflection on the navigation needle.
So that's what you've been...
I'm doing stalls under the hood, so I can't see outside. You've done the hood work before.
Yeah.
Stalls under the hood, steep turns under the hood, and unusual attitudes, that's pretty normal. Emergency descents under the hood, so the rapid loss of altitude. And, of course, it's a multi-engine airplane, so engine failures and still have to maintain the same standards with one engine on the not working on the multi-engine airplane.
Okay, so this is a multi-engine thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could do it multi, or I could do it single, but multi makes more sense.
Yeah. So you've been doing this training with Keith as your trainer.
Yeah.
But then you're going to have to go with a flight examiner to get the sign off.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think you can do it.
I'm not worried about it.
You're not worried about
it? Suck at it, but you know.
What do you mean? Why do you suck? How could you be bad?
Because I'm my own worst critic.
Ah.
If it's not perfect, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
So, and Keith is getting a lot of enjoyment out of that.
Why? Just because you're yelling at yourself? just whacking yourself in the forehead.
You could have done it better.
You've been around the two of us long enough to know he's Mr. Calm, relaxed, and nothing shakes him, and I'm here getting all frustrated with myself, and he's just laughing at me.
That's why they're such a great team.
Yeah. Well, but no, we're having a good time with it. It's fun to fly with him. We don't get to fly together enough.
Well, I think that you should get that certification and then put it to good use by flying me around.
You know, I think, Dennis, this has taken the wrong turn, don't you?
I agree.
I think we're talking about the wrong person.
We are right on course. I mean, check your GPS.
We could actually spin this, though, with an airline transport. Doesn't that imply an airline? And don't airlines charge airfare?
Ooh, there you go.
Ooh, end of the show. That was quick.
He's going to run the cheapest airline in the history of the world.
No, he's talking about you paying.
I know, a buck. He's going to charge me like a dollar. And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.